we're moving away from politics for a little bit and having a little bit of fun.
Okay.
Officials in Kuwait have discovered and apprehended a pigeon that was carrying drugs. Now, the bird was caught near a customs building close to the border with Iraq, and authorities knew that there were drug smugglers in Iraq that were using pigeons in order to get drugs across the border, but they had never caught the pigeons. But now they have caught one of those pigeons and it has been apprehended. A total of 178 pills were found in the fabric pocket attached to its back.
Yeah, it's singing like a canary, everybody. You get it? See, because it's a bird. Okay.
Take a look at that. Okay, so the drugs that the pigeon was flying over the border were not fun drugs. It was an MDMA, but it was a ketamine type substance, which apparently people like to use while partying. Why do people use party drugs that make them want to go to sleep? I don't know. Ketamine is like a horse tranquilizer, right?
That's what they took in the night of.
Oh. Yeah, don't take ketamine. Yeah. Just don't. It sounds like a really bad idea.
And then I wouldn't want mine to arrive on that thing.
Yeah. No. I'm guessing that people who take drugs like that aren't.
They don't really care. They don't have that high sanitary level.
Amazon's new pigeon delivery service.
That seems too much. Okay.
So
too much.
Look.
I hope they throw the book at that pigeon, though, man.
But you know what? I feel
life in prison.
People. First of all, they watch too much TV. But they did this apparently like in a jail. Didn't they used to do this like in Costa Rica? Like do the exact same thing?
They've used pigeons for drug smuggling purposes in the past. In fact, back in 2011, this happened in Colombia as well. Let me give you the details on that because I thought it was so interesting. Colombian police discovered a pigeon that was unable to fly over a high prison wall because of the weight of a package of cocaine and marijuana strapped to it.
Oh my God.
That's just bad planning.
It is bad planning. You know, you gotta think ahead.
Got greedy. You gotta send two pigeons, man.
Two pigeons, come on.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
There is. And what's amazing is, look, JR, who is here, has been on the record as a pigeon hater.
Right?
However,
I forgot all about this.
Yes, you do hate pigeons. He thinks they're disgusting and
dirty. Stool pigeons or real pigeons?
Real ones that eat each other's toes. I'm just saying, when you go to, I went to college in like a downtown area at USC, so pigeons are everywhere.
Is that accredited?
And then you, they're still paying off. So they're disgusting. They eat each other. I literally saw a pigeon with no toes because they were eating each other's toes because they're savage creatures.
Look, man.
And honestly, they're the most annoying bird. What's the use? Like flies are annoying, but flies have a use.
They're smart. This is a use for them. Look, you can be like, here, take my drugs, and I want you to take it over the border.
Yes.
And they're like, okay, cool. I mean, if they only found one, this means this has been working or something. Like, it's been going on.
Well, pigeons are highly intelligent. And so I looked into this a little bit and came across this awesome video from a YouTube channel called It's Okay to Be Smart.
Nice.
And just take a look at how smart pigeons really are.
Most of their skull is eyeball. If they were the size of humans, their eyes would be as big as grapefruits. Those huge eyes have 5 color receptors compared to our 3, letting them see things we can't imagine. One pigeon named Linus was trained to remember nearly 1,000 images. Pigeons can peck out a Monet from a Picasso. They can even judge if a child's drawing is good or bad. Pigeons can tell correctly spelled words among misspelled words, as if they weren't annoying enough. They can even put groups of objects in numerical order, which sounds easy because we're smart, but pigeons do numbers as well as monkeys do. Pigeon vision is the bomb, literally. During World War II, psychologist B.F. Skinner tried to turn these birds into weapons. He trained pigeons to keep an image centered on a tiny screen by pecking at it. He hooked this up to a navigation system and then loaded it inside of a bomb. He wanted to create explosive missiles piloted by kamikaze pigeons.
The original drones.
Well, first of all,
just because he wanted to kill them.
JR, somebody owes the pigeon community an apology.
Right?
JR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's Pete on this?
They still harassed us every day outside.
I see. This is more of a personal thing.
Absolutely. I knew it.
Because I'm calling BS on that eating their toes crap.
There was one with a nub. There was one with a nub, and I saw him biting his toe. Okay.
First of all, we elected Donald Trump and Betsy DeVos as our education secretary.
Objection.
The pigeons aren't making that mistake. They may eat each other's toes. And by the way, I was just reading today that about the first, I'm sure you all were reading this too, the first Major League Baseball player killed in World War I. Obviously, everybody was.
Oh yeah, it was a big piece today.
Reading about this today, but these guys in the when they attacked in the Ardennes forest and got many in October of 1918, they all got stranded behind enemy lines. It was a devastatingly terrible battle, and thousands of American troops were killed among them. This guy, and but they had, of course, you think about it, they had no manner of communication to get help. I mean, people knew they were trapped there, but they couldn't tell them exactly where or what they needed. They were short on supplies. They're cornered in every way by the Germans, and their only manner of communication was pigeons. And they, but that's even, I was just reading it today. I was like, that's amazing. So they would send a note and a pigeon, and the pigeon would fly to the right place and deliver that note. And if after delivering that note over the German lines, that pigeon wants to eat another pigeon's toes, well, man, have at it, Hoss. You know?
Well, yeah.
And you're hating on the ancestors of those great creatures.
That's right.
Yeah, the messaging to pigeon has been used since the beginning of pigeons. I do remember. Right. So,
back in the day, the wealthy would also have these fancy pigeons that they would like. They would breed certain types of pigeons together to get like a special pigeon breed that had like fancy feathers and stuff. Like I'm butchering this point with my
knowledge. Let's just say Betsy DeVos was trying to breed pigeons. That's how the DeVos family made their money.
That
$5.6 billion, they made it through pigeon breeding. I'm pretty sure that's true.
I mean, the best thing about using a pigeon is, guess what? They can't tell on you.
They can't.
Cannot identify you yet. Can't identify. They might be able to poke out your name or your image, apparently.
All right.
Sounds like they could pick you out of a lineup just based on Anna's video.
Right. Yeah. All right. We'll use the hashtag TYT Live to tweet to us. We got to take one more break. Actually, we're going to take another break later at some point, but who cares? Just come back. Just come back, guys. Hey guys, welcome back to TYT. Two TYT Lives that I want to read to you. 90 says, rural areas like mine don't and won't have choice options for education, and people voted to hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a good point. You know, this whole thing about vouchers and how, oh, it's gonna give you an opportunity to send your kids to private schools. Those vouchers are not gonna exist if they privatize education. You know that. Like, they don't wanna pay for, or they don't wanna provide affordable healthcare. They don't wanna provide anything. So what makes you think they're gonna provide vouchers if education's privatized?
And by the way, even if they did exist, they wouldn't exist in significant enough quantities for to make a difference. In
right.
other words, you'd still have to bear a huge financial burden.
You mean
kinda
how they exist right now? Kind of how they exist right now.
Right, thank you.
It'd be worse.
All right, and then this made me laugh because it's true and also very embarrassing for myself. Old Turk says, fancy pigeons, they're called doves. I'm dumb.
Mark Thompson, 2,000 pigeons killed humanely when Donald Trump leaves office. Do you do it? You have 5 seconds to decide.
Wait. Say the question again.
2,000 pigeons killed humanely, Donald Trump.
Reluctantly, I'd do it.
All right, fair enough. There we go.
Because enough other creatures and environment would benefit.
Right.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay. Apparently, JR would definitely kill those pigeons.
He would just kill the pigeons without the other thing. Yeah, he doesn't need the Trump part. He'd just kill the pigeons.
JR can not be part of the process, right?
He's not really.
You had JR, you killed 2,000 pigeons humanely. Yes!
Wait, we haven't given you the other.
Oh, man. Okay, let's move on. There is a border town in Texas that is very much concerned about Donald Trump building a wall. Now, that sounds a little weird, especially considering the fact that it's Texas, and Texas overall seemed to be very supportive of Donald Trump wanting to build a border wall. However, Laredo, Texas relies quite a bit on Mexican people crossing the border to shop at its malls and stimulate its economy. More than 6,000 people walk into Mexico across Laredo's pedestrian bridge each day. About 14,000 vehicles daily also make the crossing, including more than 4,000 semi-trailers and ferry goods into Mexico. Now, for some reason, we only keep track of how many people cross the border into Mexico, which is strange. However, keep in mind that there's a $120 million mall. It's known as the Outlet Shops at Laredo. It opened in March on the US side of the Rio Grande River with about 60 stores and restaurants. The mall recently took in $4 million in sales in a 2 week period, with about 40% of those being cash transactions. CNBC indicated that's a sign of Mexican consumer demand, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, if you look at, you know, the architecture of the shopping center and the signage is pointed directly directly at the Mexican border because they're trying to lure in Mexican shoppers in order to buy these products. In fact, the mayor of Laredo is like, we need them. They're helping our economy tremendously. Now, developers chose Laredo because of Mexican consumers' affinity for brand names that are not as readily available in their home country. So again, let's hear from the mayor of Laredo. He says our local economy is easily 40% or more dependent on the Mexican shopper.
Yeah, on the rapists and murderers, so they come across in a shop there at the mall. Is that the
consumers?
That's the way that goes.
Right. I mean, you don't get right. Even criminals need Van Heusen shirts.
Got to get your Nikes. How are you going to get over that border, buddy?
Yeah. By the way, that part of Texas went for Hillary Clinton in overwhelming numbers in the general election.
I'm surprised
that they didn't want that wall.
I'm surprised that an outlet mall in Laredo called the Outlet Shops went with the S-H-O-P-P-E-S spelling of shops.
They're classy. Don't be a hater.
It's just shops, man. You don't need the E's. Yeah. It's just
That's very 70s.
One P.
This is
high end.
They're trying to lure people. It's classy. Come shop with us.
Come shop with us. No, but you know, I mean, it's more evidence. Donald Trump doesn't. He didn't understand it then. He doesn't understand it now.
It's so complex, though. How would he have known?
Who
would have expected that it'd be complex?
I mean, you have literally anyone. You could get any expert to explain anything to you, and the relationship between the United States and Mexico is complicated. Vitally important to us. You know, we can talk about our special relationship with Great Britain, but our relationships with Canada and Mexico, by their very nature, are probably the most important relationships we're ever going to have. And the economies are intertwined. The border is made up. The people in southern Texas and southern Arizona are not substantially different than the people who live across the border in Mexico. And this attempt to delineate arbitrarily and harmfully, and also harmfully, as he's now learning, of course, economically. Like, you think the guy who runs that, forget the Pete Sines, the mayor of Laredo, there are people who backed this mall, who invested money in this mall. They don't want to see a wall. It's going to prevent 40% of their business from easily coming over and shopping at the mall.
Also, keep in mind that, you know, the retail industry is really taking a hit right now. That was a story that we were going to report on earlier this week, but unfortunately, we ran out of time and we didn't get to it. But a lot of malls right now are, you know, looking for someone to rent the retail space because a lot of stores are shutting down. Macy's is losing a ton of business, Sears, all sorts of big name, you know, retailers that we all grew up with are now shutting down. They're laying employees off. Radio Shack is another example of that. And so, look, if this mall was just built in March, right? And they rely so heavily on Mexican shoppers, and it's all nuanced and it's complicated and it's not a black and white issue, just like everything else we talk about on this show, just like every other political issue. And unfortunately, we've allowed, you know, people in power to make us think everything is just super simple and it's either good or bad. But no, there are good parts of certain things, bad parts of certain things, there are gradations there. And in this case, just building a wall is not the end all be all. It doesn't solve our, you know, immigration issues, not even close.
No, and you're right. It was cartoonishly simplified by Trump and this uber facile explanation of the problems that we face with the building of the wall and the way he was characterizing those who were infiltrating this country. And that resonated with enough people to push him ahead.
The people who didn't have school choice.
But I mean, exactly, same thing, right? And that is the continuation of that group, should there not be some real education. But the point is, this is, as Anna says, and as most things are, a very complicated issue. And most complicated issues are not well received in this White House. This White House is about simplifying things, and I said I wanted a wall, and don't come back into my office until you tell me the wall is underway down there.
Yeah, he's gonna have a lot of legal hurdles with the wall. I mean, where he plans to put it, there's a lot of private property there.
Yes.
I mean, that's just basic.
Right. We reported on that earlier this year. There are resorts where, you know, if he builds the wall, you know, exactly where he's planning on doing so, it would cut these resorts in half. Like half the resort would be on the Mexican side of the border, the other half would be on the US side of the border. In some cases, private property would end up on the Mexican side of the border. So it's a complicated, difficult issue. And again, people think that it's black and white. It's not.
Three quick points about the main point here. How's Radio Shack around at all? Like, first of all, its name is Radio Shack. Radio.
That's a good point.
Like, we've moved nine media forms beyond radio.
So I like Radio Shack.
I like Radio Shack too, but
and I like radio.
Right. It's called Radio Shack.
We're on radio right now.
Yeah, asshole.
Yeah. So
it's Podcast Shack. I mean, come on.
But it was. I swear to God, it went out of business 4 years ago, and there are still Radio Shacks.
No,
and one of the reasons why it went out of business, forget the internet and all that talk, is you'd go into Radio Shack and you'd say, I need a thing that fits into this thing and then attaches to this thing. And the guy there, inevitably, he'd take you right to it.
Yeah,
right.
It's
and
amazing.
Then you'd buy it, and it was 79 cents.
Yeah, that was the problem.
And you'd think, this place can't possibly stay in business. It's called Radio Shack, and everything costs less than a dollar, and they got five people working here.
Right.
That's exactly right. It was a magical place.
It was,
you went for these specific things. It was like a hardware store where you walked in.
I needed to have three different things to go to my computer. Yeah, sure, it's right over there. It's $1.19. Yeah.
They should have walked you through the store, like you know how IKEA does. You have to like go through the whole thing and then you get a bunch of stuff you don't need.
I'm sorry to extend it, but I was one of the five employees of Radio Shack back in the day. And what happened to it? I was there right before it went out of business. What happened is they started pushing everything else. They would start going, like, forget all of the electronics, forget the connections, the gears and that, and people trying to create stuff, whatever. Fry's is here. They don't need you anymore. Just start selling cell phones. That was all they wanted people to do.
Cell phones.
And I wasn't selling cell phones, so I was like,
That's right. They did start selling cell phones.
There's still a Radio Shack in Santa Monica. I go there to buy batteries just to keep it in business.
Keep hope alive, Radio Shack.
That won't keep it in business.
No, I know, because it costs $2.
Right. I think the best part about it was you would show up knowing that something was broken, but not knowing like what it was you needed to buy to fix it, right? And they would just kind of do the work for you. Now, like we have
the convenience.
We have Google, yeah, but sometimes you don't even know it's a Google, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you have the convenience of Amazon, but you don't have someone like kind of walking you through what's broken with your device.
Mm-hmm. I hope there's a future for Radio Shack, and I also hope there's a future for Telegram Hut, because there aren't many of those left. And
all right, we got to take one more break. Stick around, because when we come back, a teacher has named one of her students a terrorist. How did that go down? We'll give you the details. Hey guys, welcome back to TYT. Anna, Mark, Sue-Ann, and Ben with you. Ben is on his phone.
Well, I was trying to find something we mentioned earlier from Mark Sanford for our producer Jen Ruford, and I have found it.
Okay, perfect. I want to read a few TYT lives before we get going with the rest of the stories. Goldie Sack says, "LOL." We're gonna hate our way into a recession. I'm guessing that was a response to the Laredo story that we covered.
By the way, speaking, I was just looking up something from earlier about Mark Sanford saying that Donald Trump has unleashed this confidence that people have to threaten reporters and to threaten each other and to be menacing. Like the president can say whatever he wants, so can I. Mark Sanford, Republican from South Carolina, also saying what many people is that, hey, our economy with this budget is headed for a recession. Mm.
Wow.
See how gently you put it?
Yeah, so he said it while on the Appalachian Trail.
All right, Rob Dominici says, whenever I went to Radio Shack, everything I needed always felt expensive. Maybe it was cheaper earlier on.
No, and he just makes more money, so it's just.
Ben did, for the sake of the story, shade everything down to 79 cents. But it's still pretty affordable.
Or maybe when he went there. When was that, 19?
Careful.
Wow.
Damn.
Careful, young lady.
Fired.
Somebody's feeling very much at home on the panel.
Took 4:44, been here an hour and 44 minutes. She's like, all right.
It's time.
I'm comfortable.
Time to go after the big dog.
That's right, yeah.
Well, Keith Simon will boost your ego a little bit. Yeah. He says, Ben is on fire today. Gonna buy a pack of batteries from Radio Shack in solidarity.
Nice. Thank you. Good. Awesome. Good luck finding one.
Yeah. All right, moving on to some other news today. A mother is furious after her 13-year-old daughter received a mock award from her teacher that named her most likely to be a terrorist. Lizeth Villanueva was the student who received this mock award, and she didn't find it funny. She says, "I was shocked. The teacher said most likely to become a terrorist, and she said my name, and she gave me this." So let's go to graphic 12. You'll see what the award looks like. She's a seventh grader. She said her teacher gave other students awards with the disclaimer that it might hurt students' feelings. She said the teacher meant it to be funny. I just feel like, look, all right, full disclosure, I don't know if people are going to be upset with me. I don't think this is that big of a deal. Let's all grow up a little bit.
Only because she gave out the award most likely to cry at everything and also most likely to be homeless. That's just comedic to me. I don't think she really thinks that.
Yeah.
Most likely to be a homeless.
Yeah, most likely to be a homeless.
Yeah, I'd say the terrorist
thing. She went in. Like,
she did go in, which makes me question her judgment. Like, I would say, just don't do it. Like, it was probably a bad idea in general. Like, don't give out these mock awards unless they're cute. You know, they're not super offensive. Like, most likely to be homeless. These are young kids, right? You don't want that to be like a self-fulfilling prophecy for them.
These kids are
Call it.
These kids are
Robert's homeless. I knew it.
Like, if your teacher's telling you, I think you're most likely to end up homeless. Like, right. You know, like that might have a negative impact on a kid's, you know, psychology or whatever. But I'm not making like a national case out of this. Yeah. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think the mom is overreacting a little bit. Just keep it at 100. I don't know.
If it was actual kids who actually, you know, who are from families of Arab or Muslim descent that were accused of being terrorists. The one kid that made the clock and then it was a homemade clock and everybody freaked out. Like, that to me is a little bit worse.
That's a lot worse.
Teacher genuinely thinks she's funny. She's just not funny at all. She's probably a bad teacher. Just my opinion.
I got a couple of friends, Mark, one of them, Michael Shore, certainly, that, you know, when I think of something that's, I think, a really good tweet, but it's, you know, could easily be misinterpreted.
Right.
You send a text. You say, hey, I'm just saying, I want to tweet this, but I'm not going to. I'm just sending it to you because I know it'll get me in trouble. Right?
You've actually, I don't know if you even remember this, but you said something on a show years ago that I still think about every time I'm about to post something on social media. If you have to stop and think about it for even a second, just don't do it.
You shouldn't do it. That's right.
Yeah,
and I forget that sometimes, but you're totally, it's a good lesson to live by. Just tweet a friend. I mean, text a friend.
Yeah.
But like, I think we all agree. Like, this teacher needs a hey, knock it off.
Yeah.
Don't do anything like that again. And then we go about.
I'm sorry, you have no case.
I mean, oddly, the terrorist thing is the thing that grabbed the headline, but the truth is, the whole thing is sort of a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. But like, the mom's furious. She's outraged. I don't know what kind of action she's planning on taking against this, but there's no.
She got an apology from the school administration. I mean, I think we can move on. I would say, but
yeah. I agree.
Like, that's something a teacher didn't have to. So they're like engaged. Like, she's trying.
I feel like
heart's in the right place.
There was that teacher that made the kids do an exam, and like all the questions on the math test were based on like pimp and hoe culture. It was like, if two of your hoes don't come to work and only one is there, how many tricks can they turn within an hour? And like, the whole math test was like, that was what it was based on, but it was an inner city school, so everybody was like, oh, what is she doing? I mean, I totally agree. Like, she's a mess. She's being messy. You know, I like that.
She's being messy.
She's working with what she got. I don't support it though. I'm just saying.
Years ago, Jenk and I did a story. I think it was on the main show, but it was probably like 2005 or 2006. I'm pretty sure it was in Dallas. It's my favorite story of what's wrong with America. And amusingly, now we know what's wrong with America, and it's much worse than what I'm about to say. But in Dallas, at some high school, at graduation, they'd call up, it's a Sue Ann Robinson, right? And you'd come up, and
they'd be like, you don't look like a Sue Ann.
Right? That we need to talk about after the show. So no, and then some history teacher who liked you give you a hug. Right? They banned hugging any students for graduation. No teacher may hug a student on graduation because of the detrimental message that it sends to the unhugged.
Mm-hmm. Kiss too sensitive. What? I agree.
You're like, oh. For
when did this happen?
Oh, I didn't
get 2005, 2006, yeah, right, something like that.
What it says, if you don't get a hug, like, so they hug Sue-Ann, but they don't hug you, and you're like, no, my self-worth is diminished.
It's like a show favoritism, like they probably have always, look, that student got a 3.8 and that one got a 3.2. Must be because the teacher was showing favoritism. Look how much he hugged her.
And most kids are thinking, please don't hug me. Please don't hug me.
Yeah. Please don't hug me. Totally, yeah.
All right, let's move on to another story. Ben and Jerry's not only has delicious ice cream, but they use their business to advocate for certain social movements. Now in Australia, a social movement that they want to push for is marriage equality. Apparently the Senate in Australia recently voted to not support same-sex marriage, and as a result, Ben and Jerry's wanted to get involved. Now keep in mind that they have 26 stores total in Australia, but they wanted to use whatever power they have in that country in order to make a statement. And so here's what they're doing. Ben and Jerry's said it's banning its Australian customers from buying two scoops of the same flavor of ice cream until same-sex marriage is legalized across the country. They have asked Australians in a statement to imagine how furious you would be if you were told you were not allowed to marry the person you love. So we are banning two scoops of the same flavor and encouraging our fans to contact their MPs and tell them that the time has come, make marriage equality legal. Yeah.
Progressive ice cream.
I feel like they're actually doing Australians a favor. Like if you get two scoops, it should be a crime to get two of the same flavor, especially when you're having Ben and Jerry's ice cream, which is delicious, and they have just a variety of tasty, tasty treats.
Had you had that Save Our Swirl? Did you have that one?
That was for
climate change.
Oh,
yeah. That's good. Yeah, I didn't have that.
What were the flavors? Do you remember?
I think it was vanilla, and I think it was like chocolate chunks, because on the container, the cows were like on these ice caps that were melting.
Aww.
Yeah, it's cute.
I mean, heart's in the right place. It's so stupid.
Ben.
But they have a social mission. They're not just out here making money. You were just talking about this, how these companies, they don't care. They just want to.
I know.
Look what they're doing.
Somehow it doesn't feel like it lands. But but God bless them. Have at it. It's their company. Do what you like.
It's publicly traded. It's owned by Unilever. They're doing good things.
I can't. I love
messages.
The company. You get one scoop of ice. One scoup is so much ice cream.
Yeah, no.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they put the scoop on and then they just
keep going. So now you're being judgmental about how many scoops. I like two.
You like two scoops?
Really,
like, how can you eat two? You can't even get to the cone.
And you gotta have a brownie like underneath. Yes. Yeah. You gotta really go in for dessert.
Nobody knows how to eat ice cream. Only I know how to eat ice cream.
How do you eat ice cream?
You get it. It's a sugar cone and it's one scoop and then you tell them, that's plenty.
Yeah.
And that's because you got to get to the cone before all the ice cream melts, and you don't want to, you can't eat it that fast.
I'm with Ben. What you're talking about is a sundae. You want a sundae. That's two scoops,
it's a different
a brownie
item.
Thing, all
cherry.
Kinds of syrupy crap that you put on there with sprinkles.
And gummies.
Yeah, that is a sundae. It's not an ice cream
gummies?
Cone.
Gummies? That's disgusting.
Gummy bears?
No. And you know what else is gross? You know what else is gross? And I'm sorry to my daughter. Sprinkles are disgusting.
Sprinkles are disgusting. Yes. Finally, someone has had the courage to say that because they are disgusting.
You know, they're smuggling sprinkles in pigeons on the backs of pigeons.
People probably go to that
such a shortage of them.
Mall in Laredo to get sprinkles, and you just take them for granted.
Right.
I think it's at the
see
shop.
How we tie everything together.
Just give you those callbacks.
This
whenever
is our
you
big
need.
Finish.
Poor Josie has to smuggle the sprinkles into the house because of Ben.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Every time she has them, I tell her it's disgusting.
Anyway, but getting back to the point.
getting back to it.
Gay people should be allowed to marry whoever they love. That's the point. Yeah. Everybody. So, I mean,
that's
I'm glad
surprising.
They're taking a stand
Australians
for
Australians are very liberal. So, that's kind of interesting.
Well, what's also interesting, you're right. They are, at least on this issue, the majority of Australians polled indicated that they are in favor of marriage equality. Right. So, it is a little weird that, the Senate rejected a national referendum on same-sex marriage. But look, I think they're eventually going to get there. And they'll eventually get there by people voicing their opinion on it, supporting the LGBT community. And even if Ben and Jerry's is doing this, in somewhat of a silly way, they're still vocalizing something that's important.
Right. No,
so
it
that's
is. It's totally, and it gets people talking about it. Like it got us talking about it. Mm-hmm. God bless. Good
by the way, it's wild that, so you're saying that the populace in overwhelming numbers doesn't approve something, or does approve something, in this case, same-sex marriage, yet the government decides that they want to outlaw it. Similarly, as I recall, the populace of this country was overwhelmingly against the Iraqi war, right? Yet we went to war in Iraq. So it happens worldwide, everybody. The population can be against or for something, government does what their corporate overlords tell them to do.
Now, that said, of course, we have to remember, though, that sometimes government makes the right call. I mean, there was a long time in this country when black people couldn't marry white people, when the overwhelming majority of Americans thought that was right.
I have two swirls at home to prove it.
Hmm. You have two swirls?
Two swirl kids.
Oh, you have two swirled kids, do you?
Yes.
That's right. So there you go.
Chocolate and vanilla.
That is crazy to think about, though.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Not long ago. Yeah, not long ago it was outlawed to be in an interracial marriage. Like, it's absurd.
This is the 50th anniversary of Loving versus Virginia, 1967. And much of the country that was illegal, and it stayed illegal, was some states refused to comply with the Supreme Court order for a while, too.
It's crazy.
It's coming. Don't worry, Australia.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's is leading the way.
It's inevitable.
Yep. All right, we only have a few more minutes until the show ends, and I want to take a little bit of time to thank our members. Members keep our show independent, and we love you guys for supporting us through all these years. Member Richard Crawford, thank you so much. And also Jamin Lee, you guys are awesome. Thank you for contributing to our show. If you want to be a member, you can go to tytnetwork.com/join. Again, you guys keep us independent. Unfiltered, uncensored, and we love you for it.
The member who said that the three of you, one of you should cut my hair, that member can go fuck himself. But to the rest of you,
your hair's great.
Oh, your hair looks great. Yeah.
Silver fox? I think that's awesome.
I don't think there's that much silver.
You just ruined.
Wow. That was really,
He's done. He's done.
Wow.
He got a compliment and now he's done.
No, it wasn't a compliment.
It wasn't really a compliment.
I'm with Ben on this one.
The silver fox? Where's the silver?
I'm aware that there is some gray.
It's platinum. Okay.
It's neither silver or platinum.
It's superpower hair.
I have to take up for Ben here.
It's kind of like JR's hair. Look at his hair. He has superpower hair too.
I'm willing to embrace it. It's wisdom.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So.
Wow. The silver fox. I'll be using that again.
Sort of. Yeah.
Around 1930. Where were you going with the 19?
Yeah, I was gonna say like 80s or whatever.
Sue Ann Robinson, where can people find more of your work? Learn more about you.
At Not Just a Lawyer. On all social media platforms, at Not Just a Lawyer.
All right, and Fox News brings her on to talk about a number of issues.
That's fine.
And
who have you been on with on Fox News?
Neil.
Oh, Cavuto?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
You were ever on with O'Reilly or Hannity or no?
No.
Okay, good.
Wow, seems emphatic on the no there.
Yeah. No.
If I can mention, there's a new episode of my podcast up, and we have an economist who talks about the complacency of this country right now, economically. Uses a bunch of data to talk about that. You can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, all the places. It's called The Edge with Mark Thompson.
I've been on The Edge twice, and the last time I was on was some time ago with my brother.
That's a great show.
Where I believe the words. I waited, and then I was like, no, it's inconceivable that Donald Trump wins. Inconceivable there is, because Josh was like, well, you never know. This was in the primaries. It was like, there's a 0% chance he'll be the nominee and a 0% chance he'll be elected.
Yeah, in fact, we were talking about different scenarios by which Trump would bail. Like,
that's
he'd
right.
use
yeah.
an excuse that the system is rigged, this kind
and we're
of
still,
thing.
I still think that. I still think he's going to sign some executive order, declare victory, and quit.
But Ben's brother, Josh,
wrong every step of the way.
Predicted that he didn't have a chance.
Yeah, he took it over.
Anyway, that's at edge-show.com. My website, edge-show.com, The Edge with Mark Thompson. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for watching, guys. Thank you for joining us, Sue Ann.
Thank you for having me.
Had a great show. And I don't know, since we have a little bit of time, I'll do something that I never do. I'll plug my social media. You can follow me on Instagram at Anna Kasparian Official and Twitter at Anna Kasparian, even though I don't really use Twitter, so it would be a waste of your time.
On Instagram, you seem like you're having too much fun.
I always feel worse about my life after looking at your Instagram.
No, I'm not having any fun at all. I'm actually very stressed out. But it doesn't matter. You should follow me on Instagram because it seems like I'm having a lot of fun. Anyway, thanks for watching, guys. We will not have a show on Memorial Day, but enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Take the time to catch up on the content that you might have missed. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.